Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Thursday, March 23rd. You have to see what day it was. Thursday. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. And we'll be talking about MLB DFS, continuing our DFS primer for the upcoming Major League Baseball season's a week away. It's almost exactly a week away. What we got? They even put up the slate on DraftKings next Thursday, 1:05 p.m. Eastern. It's a week away, so we're continuing our primer series. Today we'll be talking about correlation. Remember, tomorrow is an MMA show, right? We got a 13 fight card coming up for UFC on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern slate. So going through some strategy, line of construction for the UFC slate tomorrow. If you want to get a head start on that, sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. Get all the MMA premium content, our projections, our ownership, our expert survey, the Ground and Pound podcast, Liam's breakdown of the fights, everything you'll need for the UFC slate. I'll also be on that. We also do Crunch Time now, right, for premium members. I'm assuming it's for premium members. I don't think it's a free show. On Saturdays, I'm filling in. Typically, it's a Mike H. D. Buddha and Drew Matthews, Red Kachik, and I'm filling in. So I'll be on that before there's 45 minutes before the slate starts. So if you want to check that out as well, hit those thummy thumbs on your way in the door. Give me the thummy thumbs. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Do all the things that you do. Right. Good morning, Wattaz and Suki Singh, Defic, Woo J Train. MLB season is almost here. You're right. It's almost here. And that's why we need to talk about correlation, right? We talked on Tuesday about projection, right? The three levers of DFS. If you have the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports, the Fundamentals Masterclass, you can pick up at theoryofdfs.com. and the advanced course as well. We talk about the three levers of DFS: projection, correlation, and leverage. Okay, we talked about projection. Today we're talking about correlation as it relates to MLB. But you could say this about almost any sport as well. So correlation simply is the effect of one batter's performance or one player's performance on another player's performance, either positively or negatively. How correlated they are to each other. Okay, if one player does well or one player does badly, does that make it more or less likely that another player does well or badly? Okay, so like in football, quarterback, wide receiver, right? In order for a wide receiver to score a touchdown, they have to catch a pass from someone. Someone threw that ball, right? Threw that ball somewhere, right? Most likely it's the quarterback most of the time. Sometimes you have those weird trick plays and the wide receiver's throwing the ball to the running back and stuff like that, but most of the time it's the quarterback. So those points are correlated to each other. The passing yards are correlated to each other, right? Because when the quarterback throws the ball 25 yards and the receiver catches it, the quarterback gets points, the wide receiver gets points, right? Very easy to see that. As the team does well, the running back also has more likelihood to get touchdowns, right? As they possess the ball more. So the wide receivers and the running backs are correlated also to each other. Their scores are not in one play, but their overall fantasy scoring is correlated with each other. Everyone on the same team is correlated to each other to some extent, some more than others. Baseball works the same way. Baseball, all the batters on a team, their fantasy scoring is correlated with each other for two reasons. One, like we talked about with the example of NFL, we have the play-by-play version of that. Quarterback throws the ball to a wide receiver. And also the game environment, that as the team scores more points and has more possession and moves the ball more, there's more available fantasy points to be scored by everyone on the team. And that's a lot of what the baseball MLB correlation is. That it's not necessarily that player A, you know, the first batter gets a hit, the second batter, you know, gets an RBI and a double, and the next guy runs and knocks him in. You know, it's not necessarily that. So that's why when people focus on, well, I can't play hitters that aren't like next to each other in the order. It's like, no, everyone in a baseball lineup, in an MLB lineup, is correlated with each other. Now, the ones that are closer to each other are a little bit more correlated, the same way with the quarterback and wide receiver. But everyone on the same team, because as the team scores more runs, right, in baseball, right, they're recording no outs. They're not recording outs, which means the team gets to keep on batting. It gets to keep on batting. The guy at the bottom of the order in a game where the team only scores like two runs may only get three at-bats. What happens if they score 15 runs? That guy could get 5-6 at-bats. Get twice as many at-bats as what the mean projection would even be. Right? Don't you want to have those teams that have the more opportunities for you to score points? If I told you there's a team that most of the order is going to get 5-4 at-bats, and here's most of the order is going to get 6 at-bats, or 5 at-bats, or 7 at-bats. Like that audit. Once I tell you that half the lineup's getting 7 at-bats, Either it's a very low-scoring game and it's like 1-1 and it goes 17 innings, right? There are cases like that. But for the most part, if I told you that every batter in your lineup is going to get 7 at-bats, most likely they're going to be doing well, right? How is the team getting 7 at-bats in the lineup? Yeah, because they're not recording outs, which means they're scoring fantasy points. And that's why in baseball, players are correlated to the extent of like 0.3, 30 or 40%. To each other. It's a very strong correlation. Well, not maybe in the grand scheme of things. League of Legends has very strong correlations. MLB has strong correlations to each other. Now, obviously, it works in the reverse as well. If, you know, the team's striking out a bunch, right? One player does poorly, the next player is probably doing poorly, right? In general. So it could be a 30%, let's just estimate it at that, 30% correlation to each other, plus or minus. Okay, so let's say we have 5 batters, right? I'm using team A. And let's say we're just using this as a concept. This is not the way that you would exactly compute it. The whole point is to learn the concepts. Let's say player A has a project. These are the mean projections of these players, right? Right. So you got five batters on the team, right? Five batters in your lineup, even, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Right? Okay. So what's the range? If we added this all up, right? I'm just doing this on the fly. 19, 27, 34, there's 40 points. Right? Mean. Okay? Now what's 30%? We'll do it individually by batter, right? So if these were all correlated to one another, that means we're saying that as we add more people to our lineup, our five-player lineup, the range of outcomes of each player increases by 30%. Okay? So what's 30% of 10? That's 3 points, right? So anywhere from 7, we've now made it 7 to 13. We've increased it. Even for purposes of fantasy, right? 13, right? We've essentially, what's 30% of 9? Right? 2.7, right? 11.7. 30% of 8 is 10.4, right? 30% is 9.1. 30% would be 7.8 or something, right? Right, like that. So essentially, when you put all five players together, these are what you should be viewing their projections being to incorporate the correlation of all five players in your lineup, or the players next to each other, right? So if we add these up, right, what's 30%? I mean, we could just, what's 30% of 40? 50, this should equal 52, okay? So by playing all five players together from the same team, you should really be treating this not as a 40-point projection, but a 52-point projection, right? Now, let's say you have another lineup of five players that are all five players from different teams, right? And you play the same projected players, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Well, they have no correlation with each other, right? When the player A does well, that has no effect on player C. They're in different games, right? So you would consider this lineup's projection to be 40. But this line of projection, for the purposes of ceiling is concerned, is 52. It's 12 points better. 12 points higher. Now, its range of outcomes, I mean, obviously, it could be 12 points in the other way. I mean, like 1 at 28. You've essentially made a lineup that is more likely to score 52 or 28 rather than one that's more likely to score 40. Essentially, you're turning a normal distribution, this ABCDE lineup with 40, the scores are more likely to be closer to 40 because these players are not correlated to each other. One may do well, one may do badly. One may do okay. One may do badly. This white guy may not do well. But everything balances out enough that the overall result of these five players is actually going to be a normal distribution, more normal distribution, right? So you're going to see more results, 38, 42, 35, 45, like 39, 41, like this, because they're not related to one another. So one guy could do really well and the other guy could do really badly. Right, so on average, you're going to get results that are more closer to 40. Right, you're going to have a normal distribution. While this lineup, because you're stacking five players from one team, one player is highly correlated to the other player. Like one guy does well, it's more likely that maybe not all four of them do well, but more likely that the next guy does well, and this guy does well, and that guy does well. On the reverse, it's also that if one guy does badly, the other guy does badly, and this guy does badly, and that guy does badly, right? So you're going to get more results that are bimodal. You're going to get more results around 52 and 28 rather than 40. You're not going to see as many 40s. You're going to see 55s. You're going to see 49s. You're going to see 22s. You're going to see 30s. You're not going to see as much in the mid range. And when we're talking about progressive payout contests like GPPs, the payout structure goes like this, and then way up like a hockey stick. Your goal is to increase the variance of your lineup as much as possible, while still maintaining a decent enough projection. That's what correlation does. So you see here that these two lineups could have the same exact mean projection, but this correlated lineup with five players from one team is worth way more in GPPs than this lineup with five unrelated players to each other. Because they're getting a boost. It's like every time you add another player to the lineup that's from the same team, it's like you're boosting your lineup another 30%. So how would I judge these two lineups to each other? I would view this lineup as a 40-point lineup, like a 40 in projection terms. This would be a lineup that is 40. This is a lineup that, remember, we're not caring about ownership. We'll be talking about leverage next week. So this lineup I would rank as a 40-point projected lineup. This lineup I would rank as a 52-point projected lineup. It's 12 points better. I'm gaining additional 12 points of projection from the sake of having it correlated to each other. Now let's say this first lineup with five just random one-off players. Let's use an extreme example. Let's say there's not going to be many 14-point projected players. Maybe, I guess, cores, I guess. Right? 12, 10, 10. Is that good? 16, 14, 12, 10, 10, something like this. So let's say this lineup. So this lineup has what? 30, 42, 52, 62. Right. Let's just say, this is kind of a weird thing. A Wrigley game. Like, you'd rarely see 16-point projected players. I guess like Aaron Judge and Wrigley when the wind's blowing out by 30 miles an hour or something, for that to be the mean. But let's just say you had this one-off lineup of like, here's just five random players that obviously project well and obviously within the same salary. Right. We're kind of just disregarding any of that. And this projected for 62. Which would be, quote, better? Well, even though this five-player lineup is uncorrelated, its mean projection is much higher than this correlated lineup's just 52. Beats it out by 10 points. That the correlation of these five players with the projection of 40, even factoring in the correlation, only brings it up to 52, while this lineup is already at 62. So which lineup, quote, would be better? It would be the uncorrelated lineup. Correlation, all it does is boost the effects of the player's range of outcomes that they're tied to each other. So when people ask the question of, do you stack five? Do you stack four? Do you do 5-3? Do you do 5-1-1? Do you find, it's all in relation to this. If you wanted to decide, most of the time it doesn't matter much. Because baseball is so wide range of outcomes as it is. That this lineup is 0.2 points better than 2.2 points. It doesn't matter. So let's take, for example, a full lineup, right? So we already see that, let's say here's a five player lineup. Here's a five player lineup with one off, right? As an example, right? So we already got this. We'll already put this in. 28, 40, 52, right? Okay. So it's like, okay, how about here's a line. I'm going to put in the same players, right? So basically, I'm deciding. And so this gets a boost because I got correlation in my lineup, right? Boost by 30%. Right? So make these lineups look almost exactly the same in 0.1. Other than this lineup has four players from the same team and then some one-off. Okay? Let's say this one-off has a 10-point projection. It doesn't get any benefit of correlation to this. It's just a one-off. Well, what's the projection now of this lineup? You can get it all the way down here. Right? 10, 9, 8. What? It's an extra 4 points. Like that. Okay? The difference is seven. This one, even with the correlation, this last player we're going to treat as a 7.8 projection, but this last player we're going to treat as a 10-point projection. So it's 2.2 points better for, right? This would be 54.2, right? Which lineup is, quote, better? Well, the first one. They both may be plus EV. They both may be profitable lineups to play, right? Depending on the contest you're in. But you see here is that this last player is correlated with the other four players, but his projection's only 6. Even with that 30% boost, that gets him up to 7.8. This other player, projection is 10. We're assuming everyone is the same salary, right? We're just assuming the salaries of this lineup fits. Well, his mean projection is already 10. So, yeah, this player B gets no benefit of correlation, gets no boost, doesn't get 30% more added to his projection. So when you add up all these 13 plus 11.7 plus 10.4 plus 9.1 plus 10, it should equal 54.2, right? It's 2.2 more than this. So this lineup you would judge as a 54.2. This one you would judge as a 52. Which lineup is, quote, better? Well, 54.2 is higher. So if I had to choose between these two lineups, they both could be plus EV, but it could be, you play either of them, they'd be profitable. One maybe a little bit higher profit. But which lineup is better? It would be the one that has a 4-player stack and 1-1-off. Because the 1-1-off projects from a mean standpoint better than the fifth man on the stack, even with the boost in correlation. So extrapolate that out to a common lineup, right? That you'd be talking about, right? Let's say we go right back to make these lineups exactly the same. I get the question of, okay, do I play 5-1-1-1? Do I play 5-2-1? Do I play 5-3? And what's my answer always? Well, it depends on the lineup. First off, it probably doesn't matter. You've probably already gotten to the point of building a plus EV lineup. Now it's just a matter of which one is slightly better than the other, slightly more profitable. You're probably going to be profitable with any one of those doing one of those things. You can build 1,000 lineups, like each of those constructions. So in and of itself, like, do you play 5-3? Do you play 5-1-1? You're overthinking this. Go to the last show. If you're thinking about, I mean, I'm really serious here. You're going to not believe me. If you're thinking about MLB DFS for more than 60 seconds on any given day, you're thinking too hard. You want to get better at MLB DFS? Stop thinking about 99% of the things that you're thinking about. You could show up with a minute before the slate and build lineups that are as good or better than most of the people in the contest. And you'd be better off. The more you think about it, the worse your lineups will get. Or you're just spending time on nothing. It's a waste of why you might as well go out and bang your head against the wall. It'll be more worthwhile to do. So let's say we take two lineups. So here's a 5-3 lineup, right? Here's a 5-5-1-1-1. Let's say, whatever, B, C, D, right? Okay. Right, here's 5-3, here's 5-1-1-1, right? So let's just say that this lineup has 10, 10, 9, 8, right? On that, right? We've already gotten the original part of this lineup had 40, right? Is the projection. All right, so now we're going to add another 10, 9, 10-9-8. So what's it? 27? So 67 now, right? And then these three players get a boost because they're all correlated to each other. So we're going to give them a 30% boost as my screen goes out. So we're going to give them, the 30% boost because of correlation. All right, so this whole lineup gets a 30% boost. So what's 30% of 67? 6.7 times 1.3, 87.1. Okay? And these are three one-offs, right? Let's say B one-off is 11, 10. Let's do that. Let's do 13, 12, 11. There's much that they're projectedly even better than that, right? So let's add this up, right? So you got 40, 53, 65, 76, right? But it has no benefit of correlation, okay? So projection-wise, this lineup projects for 76. But once you add the correlation of the other three players, like this one is technically you're going to judge as, what, 87.1? Right? Even though these batters are all 10-point, 9-point, 8-point projection, each of these three batters project better than all three of these batters. The correlation may be worth more than these projections. But let's just say, these are three crappy batters, right? Let's say these three individual are really good batters. I mean, I don't know how you'd fit them in salary-wise, but whatever. We'll make it up, right? So what's 30% of, what, 5? What, 6.5? Okay, so we have to recalculate that. Okay, so we got the 40, 45, 50. So mean projection, 55. We add up, you know, what's 30% of that? 5 times 1.3 is 71.5. Okay, and then these three players, right? Let's 15, 12, and 10 or something, whatever. Doesn't matter. 40, 55, 67, 77. Okay, but these three players don't get the benefit of correlation, right? B, C, and D, or they're from three different teams. Okay. So this lineup, we're going to judge as having a 77-point projection. This lineup, we're judging to have a 71.5 projection. So which lineup is, quote, better? The second one. Even though this is a 5-3 lineup, this 5-1-1-1 lineup is, quote, better than this 5-3 lineup. The other 5-3 lineup was much better than the other's 5-1-1 lineup. And there's going to be a 5-2-1 lineup that may be slightly better than a 5-3. Like, you understand what it depends on the lineup mean, right? Because people ask, because the number one thing that I'll respond back is because I think teaching with exaggeration matters so much. Should I play 5-3 or should I play 5? Should I play a 5-man stack? Right. So I said, should I play a 5-3 lineup or should I play whatever? I go, well, I want you to put in the five worst hitters. I want you to put in five bench players from the same team. And then three bench players from the other team. And then two relief pitchers. Isn't that a 5-3 lineup? They go, yeah, but that's a horrible lineup. I said, yeah. But it is a 5-3 lineup. So is that good to play? It's like, well, not that lineup. I go, exactly, not that lineup. Right? I'm going to stack five guys from the Pirates that are all 2K apiece. And three players from the Marlins at 2K apiece. They both have horrible projection. I'm going to leave 12,000, 15,000 on the table. Play the two worst pitchers and be like, okay, well, you have a 5-3 lineup. That's horrible. That's a horribly negative EV. And then you have another lineup that has no correlation. You're literally, you're just trying to pick out home runs. That lineup would be better than the 5-3 lineup with all the garbage in it. So if that's the case, then there has to be a middle ground somewhere of like, yeah, There's thousands of 5-3 lineups that are better than some, a lot of 5-2-1 lineups that are better than a lot of 5-1-1-1 lineups. But on an individual level, there are plenty of 5-1-1-1 lineups that are better than 5-3 lineups. Or 4-2-2, there are 4-2-2 lineups that may have, because of correlation and projection, may actually be slightly better than lineups that are 5-3. There are going to be some 3-3-2 lineups that once you factor in correlation will have a technically higher ceiling than a 5-3 lineup or a 5-1-1-1 lineup. There are going to be some 2-1-1. There are going to be some 3-2-1-1. There are going to be not as many of them because obviously the less players that are correlated in your lineup, the less of a boost that you're going to be getting from that correlation. And no, there's no lineup HQ setting that could give you a 30% boost to correlated lineups. You're always playing correlated. In MLB, you're almost always playing correlated lineups anyway. Right? And the boosts aren't, it's not 30. I'm using 30% as an example. People get focused too much on exactness. I'm teaching concepts here. It's like pulling teeth. What is the correlation between Mike Trout batting second and Shohei Ohtani batting fourth? Well, it's going to be different than if Shohei Ohtani's batting first and Mike Trout's batting third. It's going to be different. How much different? It doesn't matter. You want to do it exact? Feel free. You can do all of this exactly if you want. I would suggest enrolling in MIT, taking 4 years of computer science, right? Learning multiple programming languages, right? Then you have to get all the data, right? You gotta get. There's going to be a lot of steps. If you're sitting there and you barely could operate Excel, like you're probably multiple years before figuring out the difference between that to a hundredth or thousandth of a decimal. Now, what's the edge you get from figuring it out to the 10th or 100,000th of a decimal? I would say zero. We're close to zero. My projection is 9.21374. Well, my projection is 9.21375. Well, that one's obviously closer. I got to make sure to get that. Understand the concept. So if you're going to ask me, is a 5-3 lineup better than a I don't know. What is the lineup? I don't know. And the question in and of itself, is it better? And I want to go back to Tuesday's show. If you're asking, is this better than this, then you're missing the point of why you're playing DFS. And I want you to go back to the episode, the DFS pregame show episode called Where Does the Money Come From? That is the single most important episode of this show ever made. It may be the single most important piece of content ever created in daily fantasy sports. Where does the money come from? Watch that once a week, every day if you can. Where does the money come from? It comes from poor lineups. What are the two main types of poor lineups in your GPPs? Lineups that are too low projected or too high owned. That's it. That's where all the equity to be won comes from. Too low projected. In MLB, that also includes the boost of correlation, right? There could be a high median projected, a decent median projected lineup that has absolutely no correlation in it. So that lineup doesn't get a 30%+ boost. So that lineup may... That lineup could be like, once you consider in correlation, could be like technically like 40 points below other lineups. Like that type of lineup needs like 3 or 4 extra home runs in order to just break even with the other lineups, with an average lineup in the contest. Okay? So that's where the money comes from. Or lineups where it's the two highest owned pitchers and the highest owned stack in the exact configuration with the highest owned one-off type of thing. A lot of min cash equity there. Sure, yeah, okay. But first place equity is kind of torched And a lot of times you may even see duplicates. It could be an 11-game slate, 12-game slate. You may even see duplicates of those types of lineups. Okay? Now, the min cash equity is there. It still gains some of that, but the first place equity is kind of not there. So that's where the money comes from. You're competing for that equity based on those parameters. If you're entered a contest that doesn't have lineups that are way too low projected or way too high owned, then you can't win. No lineup would be plus EV. No, none. The rate, you couldn't beat the rake. Okay? So where does all the money come from? All the money comes from the bad lineups. So as long as you do not make bad lineups, as long as there's enough bad lineups in the contest, any lineup that is not bad is profitable. Okay? The level of profitability long-term, yes. You can debate the merits of that. But as long as you don't build a bad lineup, if you are in a contest, such as large field GPPs, especially, typically, there are enough bad lineups in the contests, right, that are ceding their equity to everyone else. Now, everyone else is fighting over that. You could be the worst out of the people fighting over that and still make money. You won't make as much money as everyone else, but you'll still make money, right? It's the poker table thing. I'm on a nine-handed poker table. I could be the seventh best player at the table and be profitable. Well, how is that the case? Well, is the eighth or ninth player so bad that they're dumping to everyone? Now, the best player at the table is going to make the most amount of money, but I'm going to still be making money.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The seventh best player at the table. I'm gonna getting some pots from these guys. You know, they're dumping, you know, they dump $5,000, $10,000 into the game, into a 2-5 no limit game. I'm gonna get some of that. Even though I'm not even in the top half of what the best players at the table are. Now, how do I make more money then? Well, yeah, I need to get better. I need to play better. But I can still make money. I can still be profitable. So when I talk about like building plus EV lineups, I'm talking about neutral plus EV lineups. Not how much EV it is. Is this lineup $1.34? Is this lineup $1.21? Is this lineup $1.17? Is this that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about plus EV lineups. Is this lineup profitable long term? The exact of how much more profitable is one lineup over the other? Maybe that's your next step. I want to make sure I make better and better lineups. But as long as you're not making bad lineups, you can profit as long as you're playing contests with bad lineups. What's the most important thing? What your opponents are doing. If you're not playing contests with bad lineups, you can't win. No one can win. The rake's going to eat you. So when you ask me the difference between this lineup and that lineup, or this lineup and that lineup, I'm going to say they're both fine. Well, which one is better? I don't know. I would think that between these two lineups, like, okay, this one is 77, this one is 71 and a half. I would think this one is better. Okay. Is the first one profitable? Probably, yes. So if you just showed me, if you didn't even show me the second lineup and you showed me the first lineup and said, can I play this? I go, yeah, that looks that's profitable. And you go off and play it and you wouldn't know any better. Then you show me this line. We go, you're going to play this? Oh, yeah, that's profitable. Is that a little bit more profitable than the other one? Probably. Oh, that means you can't play this first one. No, this first one's profitable also. Just a little bit less profitable. Or maybe the distribution of the profit is different. Right? There, the high variance lineups versus low variance lineups. If you're going to stack, a lot of the highest EV lineups you can make are lineups where you're stacking the 1% owned garbage team against the ace pitcher who's like 60% owned. Those are the highest EV lineups. If you were to run a simulation, a lot of times those are the lineups that have the highest expected value. Why? Because they win first place a couple of times more often than other lineups. But when they don't win first place, they don't even come close. Like, they don't have any value outside of it. They have much less value outside of that. So the distribution of how you realize the EV are in these big, big spikes, like the biggest spikes possible. Then everything else is like nothing. So imagine playing 150 of those lineups. You're gonna lose like almost 100% of your money, like almost every slate. Every so often, right? Maybe once every 2 months, you hit first place. Is that enough to be they're high EV lineups. Would you want to play 150 of them? Well, if you had a $17 million bankroll, sure, okay. Then you could survive losing 95%+ of your money almost every day. You could do that. Those would be the highest EV lineups. So why don't people play the highest EV lineups? Yeah, for that reason, because the highest EV lineups are also the highest variance lineups. And then you'll also see that you'll see sharp players that play lineups that are, wow, they stack the chalk. They have the chalk team, the chalk stack, and a chalk pitcher and a chalk one-off in like a 5-2-1 lineup. And you go, isn't this lineup too high owned? I go, well, they're playing an 8% owned pitcher and the two-man stack is like combinatorically. Like this isn't like awful. Like it's probably like almost around break even. Like it may not be the most profitable lineup at all. Definitely not the most profitable out of their 150 set. You're like, well, why do they play it? It's like, because it's a profitable lineup. Yeah, but it's like, aren't there like 17,000 lineups that would be more profitable than that? Oh yeah, but it's still a profitable lineup. And most of that lineup's EV comes from, coming in 700th place, right? Getting a 3x payout, a 2x payout, or min cash payout. It has just enough win equity that it makes it's over the line, right? It's still a profitable lineup. Not at nearly as profitable as other lineups, but if you're playing 150 lineups, unless you're on a gargantuan bankroll, you probably want to manage your portfolio so that you're not losing 99% every slate, even if your theoretical EV is the highest. Because you're never going to survive. You're going to never survive long enough to realize it. So incorporated in their portfolio are profitable lineups that are just low, that are lower profitable and lower variance. Can you play all of your lineups? Yeah, sure. 1%. They're going to have 1% profit. Okay, feel free. Go for it. Still be profitable. The thing that's going to matter more is your opponent's lineups. In this 20,000 entry contest, how many bad lineups are there? If there are at least 2,000, 3,000 bad lineups, that covers the rake. And once you got the rake covered, what else do you need? Even the worst lineup out of the rest of the bunch is still going to be profitable. Because technically it's being overlaid, right? So we talk about the correlation. It's like, okay, playing five guys from the same team is better than playing four guys from the same team, which is better than three guys from the same team. It's better. I'm using in quotes, better. Well, that's in relation to their projection. obviously in relation to the salary, fitting all the salary together. So it's not just, do I play a five-man stack? It's not just, do I play 5-3? Do I play 5-1? On FanDuel, do I do 4-4 or 4-3-1? Or 4-2-2 or 3-3-2? But those questions are irrelevant. It depends on, if you want an exact number of why one lineup may be slightly better than another lineup, I would have to look at the exact lineup that you show. The exact one. It depends on the exact lineup. As a heuristic, remember, we go back to earlier this week, we talked about heuristics. If you just play, if on FanDuel you played 4-4 and on DraftKings you played 5-3 and never changed that, on any slate, and I know the slate, there are slate dynamics involved with this as well. If you just did that, if you're in contests with enough players that play bad lineups, you probably don't have to do anything else. Just don't even think about it. If you're like, well, I'm going to build 20 lineups, 10 are going to be 5-3 and 10 are going to be 5-3-1, fine. Whatever you decide, whatever you want. Right? Heuristically, just stack as much as you can. That's it. There's nothing that, heuristically, you're most likely going to build lineups that aren't bad lineups. And that's your goal, to build lineups that aren't bad lineups. Because where does the money come from? They come from the bad lineups. So if you're going to choose between two lineups and be like, is this lineup projects for X and is owned at Y, and this one is slightly lower and is owned at slightly lower, and like, and you're going to sit there and do this in MLB DFS where the range of outcomes is like the size of like the Grand Canyon, you're just wasting your time. There are lineups that I play that are 30, 35 point projection differences that I don't mind playing on certain slates. Depending on the ownership, depending on, as you get further away, obviously, projection wise, then it becomes more and more likely you're building a bad lineup. If you're debating the difference of like a point of projection here and there when they're already decently high, decently projected lineups, at, if it's within a home, one swing of the bat, like my thing is one swing of the bat. One swing of the bat doesn't matter. Okay? So that's 14 points in projection. So I don't view a lineup that projects at X or projects at X minus 14 as much different from one another. Assuming the ownership and assuming the leverage is there, right? That's one swing of the bat, 14 points on DraftKings. What's two swings of the bat? 28 points. Two swings of the bat. Okay, now we're starting to push it. Which means a lineup that projects 28 points lower than in another lineup, I don't mind that either. So between 14 and 28, now we're getting into two swings of the bat. Once we start getting into three swings of the bat, now I think we may be giving up a little too much. Unless you're getting amazing leverage, probably that may be a little too much. But you know how many lineups you could build if you ran the optimal and then ran any stacked lineup that was within 28 points of that optimal projection? You know how many lineups that is? Imagine you were going to run a five-man stack with three one-offs on DraftKings. So it's like, I want a five-man stack, doesn't matter what team, and three one-offs and two pitchers. And I want you to give me all the lineups that are within, here's the top one, within 28 points of it. You couldn't even do that in lineup HQ. Because there'd be thousands, there'd maybe tens of thousands of lineups. And I'm telling you, all those lineups are fine. All those lineups are fine. If you take away ownership, all those lineups would be about the same, close enough, right? So once you get into that mentality, that's close enough. Like, why are you spending, how do you spend that much time building MLB lineups? Everything in baseball, it's already factored in the projection, so you don't have to look at it. I don't have to look at the weather. I don't have to look at the team totals. I don't have to look at the pitcher. I don't have to look at the strikeout rate. I don't have to look at any of that. It's already factored in the projection. Then I'm playing MLB DFS GPPs while I'm stacking. Okay. So give me as many players from the same team as possible. And then if I'm building... the more profitable lineups out of the bunch of those thousands, I want the lowest owned ones of those, right? The difference in 5 points in projection doesn't matter that much. In the grand scheme of things, when the Grand Canyon variance and correlation factor of MLB DFS, well, here's a lineup that is owned at 120%. And here's a lineup that's 5 points lower projected that's owned at 18%. Well, I'm going to play the 18% online. And you know what? I could probably find like 100 lineups that look like that also. I'm going to pick a bunch of those. And they may have different teams in them. Who knows? And then depending on how many lineups I play, how much diversification do I want? You know, so I don't lose 90% of my money on every day. Then I just pick and choose whatever lineups out of those. And there you go. That's MLB DFS. But when you ask the question of like, do you play a stack? Do you not play a stack? This is the concept that you should be looking at. How much of a boost does the correlation of the two players matter? And then add that onto the projection and then go, well, does this player have a better projection than the other two guys that already have the boost? If the answer is no, then you should play the correlated one. What do you think if you see me on like MLB Grinders Live this year coming up? What position sucks the most typically? Catcher, right? There may be slates where there's no catcher that's worth playing. Like the highest raw projected catcher is 7 points. And the lowest projected catcher is 4.5 points. You know what I say on the show a lot of times? Well, what catcher do you play? Play whoever's in your stack. Once you factor in the correlation between the catcher and the other four players on the team, that correlation boosts it up past the best catcher you could play on the slate anyway. So why are you going to play the seven to high? I'm going to play $4,200 whoever the hell over the $2,800 catcher that projects for 2 points less, but is correlated with the other four players in your lineup. So I'll play the correlated one. But there are slates sometimes where it's like Mike Trout projects for 14. And the player that would correlate with your lineup only projects for like 9.5. And it's like, is the 4.5 points worth? Yeah, maybe I play Trout as a one-off there. You could play probably either lineup would be profitable. And now we're just deciding between which one is slightly more profitable than the other one. To me, I actually think that's more important than the correlation. I think a more important concept today that you should learn. I mean, I talked about it on Tuesday. Once you've built a not a bad lineup, the difference between the not and bad lineups are not dramatic. Don't build bad lineups. Okay, you will do better. I'm guaranteeing it. You will do better. Most of the time in the past of me, because I talk to people for the years, right? I have the course, right? Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports.com, right? Theory of DFS.com. People catch towards baseball season or during baseball season. I haven't been doing well. I've been playing a month of baseball and then they give me all these questions of, should I be looking at this? Should I be doing that? I said, throw all of it out. So what do you mean? I said, you would do better off just randomly choosing teams. Like, should you do that? No. But I say, based on what you've shown me, it's like you've spent all this time on things that don't matter. How do you mean they don't matter? It's like, well, everything you're looking at is in the projections. But I'm trying to determine if this lineup is better than that lineup, is better than this lineup, is better than that lineup. I said, pick one randomly. Probably doesn't matter between the four. Like, the more and more you stop thinking and stop doing everything and just get down to the fundamentals of DFS, the better you will do. And people that have gotten there know what I'm talking about. The people that haven't gotten there think I'm crazy. But you, when you learn how to play DFS well, you will get to a point where you think that it can't be that simple. That you just sit there and you'll get a 1099 at the end of the year. You'll win a GPP three or four times in a year, right? You'll be profitable in cash games, and you go, it can't just be this simple. Like, if it's this simple, why doesn't everyone do? I mean, like, it's to the point where it's that simple that it's like, dude, why are there any bad DFS players? I mean, this is just like it has to be short-term luck because it can't be this simple. Yeah, it's that simple. It really is that simple. Yeah, all I do is I go into Lineup HQ and build baseball lineups and say, yeah, give me like max of like 10% of like any stack and make sure that the lineups aren't owned as like this much. And I weed out ones that are projected for way too low, and then I just play that. I go, yeah, those are probably fine lineups. Could you build a more profitable set of lineups? Possibly. But are you building a profitable set of lineups? Probably. That's probably fine. Probably good. You have to now build around the A lot of MLB DFS is more of the limitations of optimizers. You get into clumping problems. Like, it's more of like figuring out how to work around tools if you're building large sets of lineups. But if you're building three lineups, like, dude, you could use Lineup HQ and build out 300, 500, 800, 3,000, 6,000. You could build, and they're all profitable. And you could be like, I've 10,000 lineups to choose from, but I'm only playing three. So which one should I play? It's like, well, you could play any of the three. You could. It's like, well, if you want to be more likely to play lineups that are still a little bit more profitable than that, well, that's, you know, we have tools, right? The Theory of DFS Advanced Players Guide has a custom Excel tools. That's the type of stuff that I use. I go, okay, how do I weed? Now that I have 6,000 plus EV lineups, how do I weed out and maybe play the ones that are even the highest out of the bunch, right? I'll play 20 of those and then decide, like, well, I don't want to play 20 high variance lineups. So a lot of it is just picking and choosing between lineups that are already profitable to begin with. But you have to get to that point. Most people don't get to that point because they just overcomplicate things. Like we said on Monday, I said, who has the highest team total? Okay. Who is the highest strikeout rate for a pitcher? Okay, you're gonna play that team and that pitcher. Every all that is in projections. So you say play the highest projected pitcher, play the highest projected stack. Well, who do I play out of the stack? It doesn't matter. Any five guys from that team. Any of them. Well, how do you play the Braves without Acuña? Who cares? Who cares? It's already factored in the projections. Who cares? Oh, so the Braves are going to put up 12 runs and Acuña's cost $5,700. Maybe he has 14 points and it doesn't matter. You're overthinking it. Just play five guys from the same team. Well, can I play two, three, four, five? Do I have to do one, two? Can I play nine? Are you not listening? Just play five guys from the same team. Doesn't matter what the order is. The projection will change depending on how many plate appearances, right? Because the projection is, as they go down in the order, the projection will start to get lower. As they get to the top of the order, the projection goes higher. Why? Because they're more likely to get more plate appearances. Just play five guys from the same team or four guys on FanDuel. How about the rest of my lineup? Do I play three guys from the... Play three guys from the same team. Play two guys from the same team. You're overthinking it. You're vastly over. I mean, you're vastly over. If you're not even at the point where, like, this doesn't even matter, you know how much you're overthinking it? I'm going to highlight this next week as well when we go through leverage as far as ownership. This line, we're going to go through, and it's going to be this lineup is projects for 126 at 37% ownership, and this lineup projects at 125 at 32% ownership, which, dude, they're both fine, right? Are they lower owned than the highest owned lineups? Are they vastly lower owned than the highest owned lineups in your contest? Yes, okay, that's only do they project well enough for you? Yes, okay. Those are the only two questions you need to answer. Yeah, but I can make like 17,000 lineups that look like. That's right. That's right. And if you make 17,000 of them and you randomly choose five, those will be just as good as the five that you would spend 5 hours trying to choose. That's how much variance there is in MLB DFS. So why are you spending all that time? It's a waste. Unless you enjoy it, unless it's the type of thing that you enjoy. I'm gonna dig into stats that don't matter, that are already factored in a game where the variance is so high, in a contest that already has tons of bad lineups in it. So as long as I don't play any of those bad lineups, any of the lineups I make that aren't bad are probably good. So if you have fun spending 4 hours doing anything more than that, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. I prefer to watch Netflix or take a nap or do something else, play poker. I have other stuff to do. Why? Because I know it doesn't matter. So I'm not going to spend my time doing it if it doesn't matter. If my financials go up, don't go up more, why am I spending more time on it? I'm not. So we'll be talking about it because we're going to be talking about MLB for months on this show, obviously. Because MLB will be the main sport going on. And I guarantee you, new people will come here, and I will have to constantly make this speech about making it simpler and simpler and simpler and simpler. Or people like, was this lineup good? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but this guy played these lineups. Yeah, those lineups were fine also. Yeah, but this top player played these lineups. Yeah, those lineups were fine also. And they look around and go, if every lineup is fine, then what the hell are we doing here? It's like, yeah, we're playing not to play bad lineups. That's, you're absolutely right. I got to show you bad lineups. Let's go into ResultsDB or let's download the CSV and let's see what the bad lineups are. So, oh, look at 2,000 bad lineups. All right, isn't it great that they just gave us money? Right? So one of us is going to get one of those, some of this money, right? Are you one of those not bad lineups? Yeah, okay. So you're in the mix. You're in the raffle. Let's close our eyes and see who wins. That's what it is. From a pragmatic standpoint, that is what it is. Okay, so give me those thumbs ups on your way out the door. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button. Smash it. Hit it. Do whatever you want with it. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We got stuff going on this week. There even a basket. There's small basketball slate tonight, I guess, NBA. That is NBA still happening? Oh, it's such a pain in the ass. But a week from now, we'll be back to MLB. We got PGA stuff, right? There's a match play event going on or something. Was that last week? I don't know. We got international soccer, right? Because the Premier League's off because of the international break. We may have projections for that. I don't think so. I think just EPL and UCL. We got tons of stuff. Right? So sign up to RotoGrinders Premium. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. If you want more explanation about all this type of stuff, right? The game theory of DFS, go to theoryofdfs.com, pick up the Fundamentals Masterclass or the Advanced Players Course, which comes with the custom Excel tools that James McCool has developed, the ones that I use, right? I do use them. Between the Excel tools and the theory of DFS and lineup HQ and Roto Grinders, like that's what I use. Well, do you do this? Do you do no? I literally show what I do. You go back to past shows. We're gonna be having slates sometimes where I'm doing the pregame show and there's a slate at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll just build the lineups that I literally will play. Like, that's what we do. I mean, sometimes. Sometimes we don't have a starting lineup in time or something like that, so I have to switch something. But a lot of times it's like, okay, these are the 5 lineups I'm playing, and this is how I got about to going about getting them. And if it wasn't for the fact I wasn't doing a show, it would probably take me 3 minutes to do. But of course, I explain everything, and that's the basis of the show. So you'll see plenty of those. Okay, so tomorrow's MMA, remember? Going over the UFC, they're in San Antonio. The UFC San Antonio slate. 13 fights as of now. Probably something's going to get canceled. It always does. Something. It's okay, 13 fight card I could do. I like 13. And then it gets down to like 11 fight card for no reason. 2 fights get canceled. Someone misses weight. Something like that. But we'll see. We'll see tomorrow. I'll be going over that and answering your DFS strategy questions like I always do here on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.